Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2006. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner located at Pod 532 on the Pavilion floor, including mini talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities.
Welcome back to the Java.net Community Corner, folks. Welcome back. It's now time to get an update on the state of free and open source software delivered by Fernando Lozano. Fernando, go right ahead.
Good evening. Thanks, everybody, for coming. This presentation, I will talk about the current state of many open source projects devoted to Java. Not any open source project, but open source projects dedicated to create free software Java virtual machines, free software Java APIs, and free software Java compilers. Before talking about the tools, let's do a quick review of the reason to use open source Java. The first reason is being able to deploy Java applications on platforms which are not currently supported by Sun, IBM, or BIA. Especially for Linux users, they have official support only for Intel architectures. If you use Linux on Spark, on PowerPC, on ARM, on MIPS, on Alpha, you don't have a Java virtual machine from Sun, IBM, or BAO. So the only option are the open source Java implementations. Open source Java also helps a lot with embedded designs, where Linux is also very popular. You have more freedom to customize, to change the virtual machine so it takes less memory, drains the battery a little less. So these guys are very interested in virtual in free software virtual machines. There is also the problem of license for distributions, which we hope has been solved now with the new GJ license. And after all, there are some specific bugs on some Java that they won't happen with macOS, they won't happen on Windows, but they do happen with Linux, with FreeBSD, problems with international keyboards, cut and paste, and font handling. If that with an open source Java, it becomes much easier to work out these bugs to solve those problems, because the Linux developers can do that themselves. They don't have to wait for Sun, IBM, or another company to do that. In this slide, I listed the main open source Java projects. It's not a comprehensive list, some projects are missing, and I highlight the ones I will talk about. You'll see as most open source projects, the Java open source projects are very specialized. There are projects that focus on building a virtual machine. And then you have different strategies for building a virtual machine to meet different requirements. You have projects that focus on the Java APIs, the standard Java APIs. You have projects dedicated to Java compilers. Lots of you are users of Jaikin and Eclipse compiler, I presume. And interesting, you have testing projects. As the TCK is not easy to get, even with recent changes on the JCP, it's yet not easy for an open source project to get the TCK. The Java community developed their own testing suite so they can check if their implementations, their APIs, meet the Java specifications. The whole community of open source Java developers is very interested on compatibility. They don't want to create a different kind of Java. They want to create a Java that runs your current Java application, that can be used as a plugin replacement for Sun Java, IBM Java, or whatever you use. The first project is Café. It's the oldest open source Java project. It started a few times after Sun released Java 1.0. It was maintained by a company named Transvirtual, which had an interest on the embedded space. But Transvirtual didn't grant well in the financial side, and the Café project became orphaned. Recently, Dalibor Topic took over the Café project, and the project gained a new energy. Today, Café is maybe the better open source Java virtual machine. It runs lots of applications like Eclipse, like Tomcat. It has a good performance. It has a very complete Java API implementation. And you can get Cafe in most Linux distributions from Debian feeds or whatever. KFE is so well that they are now trying to run the TCK and get certified. They are working with the Soul Java Users Group to meet the bureaucratic requirements for getting and running the TCK. But people are very optimistic about that. The second project shows a radical different approach to a Java development and Java application deployment. The GCJ is part of the GNU compiler suite. Most people know GCC as a C compiler, but actually GCC is a set of compilers for Fortran, Pascal, WADA, Modula. And so Java is one of the languages GCC can take as the source code, and GCC can produce native code for whatever architecture GCC supports. For the embedded developer, that's very nice because you can get a native executable, very small size, very trimmed down. You have an optimized interface for native code, the CNI. But JCJ doesn't force you to do native code. It can also be used as a standard bytecode compiler. For the JCC compiler suite, bytecode, the virtual machine, is just another one processor architecture. So you can compile for bytecode like you can compile for Pentium, ARM, or PowerPC. GCJ also includes a Java interpreter, a sort of virtual machine that can mix on the same application, the same memory space, Java classes that are compiled as native code and Java classes compiled to bytecode. And that's very interesting because you don't need to have all source code for applications. Say you have a JDBC driver that cannot recompile, it would violate the license. You can use that JDBC file, that JDBC driver, in its original form, no problem. JCJ is currently the Java implementation that comes bundled with Fedora Linux, Red Hat Enterprise Linux. And you can run lots of software with it. The Red Hat people is using GCJ to run Eclipse and develop a very big suite of applications. Then we have the GEM virtual machine, which has a different focus. It's intended to be a standard Java implementation, a Java SE, but it targets PDAs, cell phones, and embedded devices. The main goal for the GEM VM is to have a very small memory footprint, to not drain off your battery, is being able to run with little processor power. And they met that goal. You need only 117 kilobytes of RAM to run the GEM virtual machine. Of course, you need more memory for whatever classes you have in memory for your Java heap. But hey, most Java virtual machines need many megabytes, dozen megabytes, just to boot. And GEM can do with a little more than 100 kilobytes. GEMVM does not do just-in-time compiling. It's a pure interpreter. But if you check Sun, IBM, and other virtual machines for the embedded space, especially microedition virtual machines, none of them does it. All of them are pure interpreters. So here you have an interesting alternative, because you don't get microedition. You get the full Java standard edition on your PDA. In fact, the GEM virtual machine is part of the familiar Linux distribution feeds. So if you have an IPAC, a Zaurus PDA, you can install familiar Linux on it and run Java applications using GEMVM. The JIKE RVM is very interesting because the virtual machine itself is made in Java. Most people can't believe this is possible at all. Most people think a Java virtual machine has to be done in C language, C++, or assembly code. But the JIKE virtual machine is done in Java. Of course, you have a little chunk of native code to bootstrap the process, but then the virtual machine regenerates itself and then you run only from the Java code. IBM started this project as a way to have a better platform for research, for experimenting new algorithms, new approaches to virtual machine development. And most of the code from the JAX virtual machine was given to the Hermon project from Apache. I'm not talking about Hermon here, because you can see the technical sessions about Hermon, so I'll give the time to the other implementations that didn't get space in Java 1. All the Java virtual machines we see use the same provider for the class libraries, which is GNU ClassPath. The GNU ClassPath today implements 98% of the Java 1.4 APA. More, 99 today. So, of course, this 98, 99% doesn't mean all of the classes, all of the APA are mature, are reliable. Some of them are pretty hard, especially the swing implementation. But the ClassPath project is running on a very quick pace. The fact that it's very mature is that allows people to run Eclipse, Tomcat, and even Jonas, a complete certified Java Enterprise server using JCJ or Café. So that's pretty good. You can, for real, use ClassPath, use one of the virtual machines we've seen to deploy your Java applications on Linux. With a little bit of luck, especially if you don't use Swing, you will run your applications just fine. And you have also Java compilers, like the popular JAX one, which a lot of developers use in place of some Java compiler. You have the Eclipse compiler, which Red Hat bundled as a standalone application, so you don't need the Eclipse IDE to run the Eclipse compiler. And with that, you have a complete JDK-like environment to develop Java applications using only free software. Unfortunately, most of these packages are not yet ported to Linux. Some of them are ported to Windows, not Linux. Few of them run on Linux, on Windows today. Most of them focus on Linux, Solaris, FreeBSD, and Linux and Unix platforms in general. But the GCJ has a Windows port on the MinkDevil project from SourceForge. And the Cafe people is making improvements using the Cygwin emulation library. So we are very close to have these tools on Windows also. Java GNOME is a kind of a different beast because it doesn't intend to provide a standard Java component. But it's very interesting to Linux users. That's why I put here. It provides Java bindings for the GNOME libraries, the GTK, Pango, and etc. So you can use Java as your host language for developing GNOME applications. They will be very fast, very lightweight. They will have full fidelity to your GNOME themes if you use Red Hat, Debian, or whatever. You won't have cut and paste problems, international keyboard problems. Everything will work fine because you are using the standard Linux libraries for graphic applications. So this is a very interesting option for Linux developers if you target mostly Linux desktops, if you aren't worried about portability, because you have Glade, the GNOME User Interface Builder. So you can do visual development of Java GNOME applications. Add Eclipse to the mix, and you have a very strong IDE for all other tasks. So, for Linux developers, this may be the most powerful combination available for desktop application development. Well, I already talked to you about Mouth. And GUMP is very interesting. GUMP is a continuous integration server hosted at Apache Foundation. And it runs all the time tests over all Apache software. So if some developer changes Jakarta Commons something, and this change breaks Ant, breaks Tomcat, breaks something, GAMP will tell you. So it's a giant continuous integration service because it runs lots of software. And since 2004, Café is part of the GAMP service. So they run all the tests against Café and ClassPath to make sure Apache software works with the free software Java implementations. Please talk a little. No, GAMP is not meant for you to run as part of your development process. It's not like cruise control. It's an infrastructure for the Apache projects. So if you see all these projects, they all have different implementation strategies. They all focus on different requirements. And the very own existence of this project and the size of their user communities shows that there's a real need for open source Java. And that's the main advantage of open source Java, being able to try and test different ideas without losing compatibility, having the possibility to change a different Java implementation to meet your specific requirements. If you have any questions, you can check the project's website, you can visit the Linux community, and I will try to make a quick demo so you can see this is real. This is not just talk. This machine is running Fedora Core 5, which already bundles lots of Java applications. You will see things like Azure, the BitTorrent client, RSS Oil, the newsfeed reader. If you go to the development stuff, you will see Eclipse, Change Shell. If you go to the services control panel, you can start Tomcat. So we have a complete Java environment here for developers and users. And Fedora Core follows the guidelines from the JPackage project. So it handles different Java implementations at the same time. So I can have, for example, Azure Rails running. Very nice, very beautiful. Look like, unfortunately, we are without internet access here, so I cannot download nothing to show it's working. But interesting is that if you go to the About box, can you read here? It's running the Free Software Foundation implementation of Java, that is GCJ. And at the same time, I have here NetBeans running. And if you go to the NetBeans About box, you can see I'm running the Sun Java Virtual Machine. JPackage guidelines make sure that if some application requires a specific release of the virtual machine, you will get a virtual machine that implements that specification or even that virtual machine, the specific product you asked for. And the Debian Alternative Sync makes very easy to configure those things. So you can see here, I asked the Alternative Sync, which Java implementations do I have on my system? And I do have the Free Software Foundation one, the CJ, and the Sun implementations, the JRE. And you can see from here that the Sun implementation is the default one. I changed that after I started Azure Rails. So if I start new applications, they will use the Sun implementation unless they specifically ask for another implementation. But I can go come here and just change, select the GNU implementation or any other I have available. All the Java virtual machines I told you are available in JPackage compliant packages that will work with the alternative system. As a last demo, I will show the hypersonic database console running. Just so you can see the difference between what you can gain from having an alternative Java implementation. Okay, here it is. Oops. Actually, that was not what I wanted, because I got the standard Fedora classes that do not work very well with Swing with AWT applications yet. So let's just start over. Oh, no, I want to show the Sun implementation. So let's do it again. So, Sun AWT on Linux is very boring. You use the old motif stuff. But I have just downloaded the latest release of the Jam VM, which uses the latest ClassPath release. Okay, no. I cannot open the hypersonic database twice at the same time. So let's have another one. Look at the difference. How nicer the ClassPath implementation looks. Because it is using GNOME peers, it is using Linux standard fonts, it is using the Linux folder from the default theme. So that one looks to the user a Linux application. You won't see any difference. It looks nice. But the standard Java one is pretty boring. There is no reason Sun couldn't do that, but Sun didn't want. Some wanted to have a single AWT implementation for whatever Unix they use. The Linux community wanted to have an AWT implementation that looks nice on the GNOME desktop. With a free implementation, they can. With some code, well, they can't, at least in the way they believe software license should be. They could join the Mustang project and contribute a JIT code like that. But that's another issue, the question of if you want to develop open source software, if you want to join the JCK, I just wanted to show you the possibilities you have, that sometimes a different idea, a different implementation could be better to you. Having only one source of technology, only one implementation to choose is never good. Well, people, that's all. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, Fernando. The state of free and open source software, Fernando Lozano. The next mini talk will begin in about 5 or 10 minutes. It will be distributed file systems using Juxta with Pablo Bertarelli. Give us about 5 minutes to trade, and we'll be back with you in a moment.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner Podcast. Come visit us at Pod 532 on the pavilion floor and check out our website at jnpodcasts.dev.java.net, where you'll find show notes and a feed for all our Java 1 2006 podcasts.